We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome into the LakersNation.com podcast. Today, we're going to get an injury update from Lakers practice. We're going to talk a little bit about the team, potentially turning the corner heading into this final stretch. We'll also open up the mailbag. Joining me today, it's editor extraordinaire Daniel Starkand. Daniel, how you doing? How are you holding up with the Dodgers playing super early in the morning? I think it's, what, 3 a.m. Pacific time they're playing at right now?
Yeah. I was up all night last night. Oh, actually, I got in a nice nap, so that helped. But yeah, definitely not as tired as I thought I would be at this point. We're recording this in the afternoon, so I bet a couple hours from now I'll be ready to go to bed and do it all again. But yeah, it was fun. Don't get to experience that much, like as far as games starting in the middle of the night. I know we have a big, you know, European and Asian fan base, and I know you guys do that all the time. So I've gained a lot more respect for you guys. This is definitely not easy. I'm happy, you know, it's only two games for the Dodgers here, so I only got to do this one more time. But it's definitely not easy. So shout out to those of you who are up in the middle of the night watching Laker games. I know that could be frustrating at times with the way the team plays, but you guys are the real ones.
Yeah, for sure. It gives you a new appreciation for those fans that are in different time zones and are up in the middle of the night watching games and doing things like that. It's crazy how dedicated fans can be. Really, really amazing. But at least the Dodgers got the win. I'll admit, yeah. I tried. I caught like the second inning through the fifth inning or so, and then I fell back asleep. I think it was 2-2 when I fell asleep again, and then I woke up and saw they had won. I'm like, okay, well, at least they won. I made my best effort to hang on for that one, but didn't work. By the time most of you are watching this, the Dodgers will have played their second game in Korea, and hopefully they're 2-0 at that point and off and running from there. By the way, everybody, make sure you check out Dodger Blue, dodgerblue.com, the Dodger Blue YouTube channel. You guys can check them out. They do an absolutely fantastic job covering everything. And I know, Daniel, you're part of that as well.
Yeah. No, we were doing live shows the morning after. So, we're definitely going to get all sorts of content up on Dodger Blue, especially with another opening day coming next week. But like you said, it was good to get a win in that first game and made it all worth it. And here we are back to talking Lakers.
Yeah, so let's talk about that because it's been a busy day for you. By the way, anybody who's over on the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, go ahead, hit the like button for me, and don't forget to subscribe if you're not a subscriber just yet. But Daniel, you were at Lakers practice, and this is something that it provides some great detail for us. Daniel is the one who provides all the videos. When you're seeing the post-game videos, the press conference, the in-practice videos, that's all coming from Daniel, who's there on scene for all of these games and practices. I think the big thing everybody was looking to find out about was the injury update. Gabe Vincent, Jared Vanderbilt, Christian Wood, Cam Reddish, all of these guys out of action. What did you find out at practice? I guess as most people are watching this or listening to this, it will be yesterday. But what did you find out when you were at Lakers practice?
Yeah, it definitely, I feel like all of us, all the reporters that attended practice, the injury update was a big topic just because there are kind of some conflicting reports that came out. Someone reported that Gabe and Vando were out for the year, and then there was another report saying Gabe's close to returning. So there's just a lot of question marks, and unfortunately, we didn't leave with too many more answers. It's still kind of vague as far as Gabe and Vando are concerned. Darvin Ham did say that they're doing individual work in practice, so they're still kind of ramping up and trying to get back in game conditioning. But he said they're both progressing as scheduled, and I know we've been hearing that for weeks now. So it would be nice if we got some sort of concrete timetable, but unfortunately, it just doesn't look like we're getting that with those two guys. But you know, we're running out of time here, so we'll see if they're able to come back in the next week or two. There was one piece of good news, though. Darvin Ham did tell us that Cam Reddish was able to participate fully in the practice, and the expectation is that he'll be back Friday against the Sixers, which is obviously a welcome addition. I know Cam isn't a star by any means, but he is one of their best perimeter defenders, and they got some tough matchups coming up starting Friday, you know, with Tyrese Maxey. So it's good to have a guy like Cam to be able to defend there. So that's kind of the updates we got. And Christian Wood was the other one. He just had surgery on his knee. Sounds like he probably won't be back this season, but who knows? Maybe if the Lakers make a deep playoff run, he could find his way back. But definitely, you know, is going to be shorthanded in the front court from here on out. And still no real concrete timeline for Gabe and Vando, unfortunately.
Yeah, it would be nice to hear, hey, they're going to be out the next 2 weeks, or Gabe is back next week or something like that. But the Lakers don't want to commit to anything there. And I kind of understand it. I mean, there's frustration with not knowing, but there's also frustration if you do put out a timeline and then that timeline isn't met, which does tend to happen with the Lakers. It seems like the timelines that come out around the Lakers tend to be overly optimistic. And then people get frustrated when a player's not back in that timeline. And then questions start getting asked, what's going on? Is something else wrong? And, you know, people start digging and looking to see what's happening. So I understand why they don't want to put out a specific timeline, but I will say this, it doesn't seem like the Lakers are resigned to the idea that either one of those guys, like Cam Reddish is coming back, Christian Wood, probably not. I mean, we'll see. He's the least likely, I think. But Vando and Gabe Vincent, it sure doesn't sound like the team believes they are done. I think if they thought these guys, they would just tell us. They would just say, that's it. They're done for the season. Doesn't seem like that's the case here. And that gives me some hope that, I mean, it feels like Gabe Vincent is ahead of the game right now, but or ahead of Vando anyway. But those two, before the end of the season, will be back in action.
Yeah, that's kind of my read on it as well. And, you know, the clock is ticking, of course. There's only a handful of games left here, and you're not just going to throw them into the fire in, like, the play-in game or something, you know. If it's a must-win game and they've been out for some time. So yeah, that's kind of how I feel. Ideally, you're able to get both of those guys back for, you know, 5 to 7 regular season games or whatever. And then from there, you know, kind of have them up to speed by the playoffs.
All right. So you get these guys back. I've switched our signs here. I didn't even know I could do that. There we go.
Hey, I'm the captain now, Trev.
Podcast listeners have no idea what we're talking about, but on the YouTube channel, our screens flipped there. I was getting fancy. So let's talk a little bit about the Lakers defense right now. How do you see things at the moment? Because their offense has been great.
Yeah.
How critical is the return of Jared Vanderbilt? I'm getting, because I see two sides from Lakers fans right now. This is what I get. I get people saying Jared Vanderbilt is the key to everything. He returns and everything's going to be okay because they'll probably get back to being an average defense. Their offense has been so great. They may really have something if you can get Jared Vanderbilt back. The other side says, you guys are crazy. Jared Vanderbilt got played off the floor in the playoffs last year. Sure, he's an okay defender, but he's not going to turn this thing around. Season's over. Let me throw things. I'm angry. I'm out. Right. That's kind of the two versions of Lakers fandom that I'm seeing right now. Where do you land on that? How critical is the return of Jared Vanderbilt? How much of an impact does he really make if he can get back out on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, I think as always, the truth is somewhere in the middle there. Like, he's not the Lakers' savior by any means. Like, he's not going to come back and they're going to have a number one or number two ranked defense or anything like that. But he definitely helps, and he's definitely a huge piece to the puzzle, especially as far as their perimeter defense goes. And I think his loss has been amplified even more by other players with similar skill sets also being out. Like, I think if you look at who are the best options the Lakers have for perimeter defense, I think it's Vando, it's Gabe, and it's Cam Reddish. And unfortunately, all three of those guys are out at the same time. So that's why you really see the defense struggling. Like you said, the offense has been thriving. The starting lineup is very, you know, there's five offensive threats on the floor, but there's also some defensive liabilities out there. So that's kind of what the Lakers have had to lean into just because of their personnel. But I definitely think getting back Vando is important. There's going to be matchups in the playoffs or in the play-in or whatever where, you know, you're going to definitely want to have Vando out there, whether it's against the Steph Curry or a Devin Booker or KD or Luka. You know, the list goes on and on, especially in the West. So he's definitely huge, you know, if they could get him back, especially the way he was playing before he got injured. Like, we actually saw kind of the best version of him where he was, you know, everywhere defensively, and he was actually starting to, you know, kind of become a little bit of a threat offensively, which is actually all you need with him. So I definitely think he's a huge piece, but he's not the Lakers, you know, savior by any means.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Great promo with a great sponsor, and that is BetUS. Once again, you get on your first, not one, not two, but three deposits, you get that 125% sign-up bonus up to $2,500 plus that 10% gambler's insurance. You guys can see the site on your screen right now. If you're over on the YouTube channel, BetUS, super, super easy to go play. It is March Madness right now. You guys can make whatever pick you want, find whatever game that you want, place your bet, and off you go. And once again, you get that promo. Shows you exactly what you're risking, exactly what you can win with your bet. Go check it out. Use the link in the description below, and then use that promo code JOIN125. Again, 125% deposit match up to $2,500 on your first three deposits. BetUS. Go check them out. All right, let's talk a little bit about Austin Reaves now, who you did get to talk to after Lakers practice yesterday. Now, what were Austin's thoughts? Because he spoke a little bit about feeling like maybe this win against the Hawks, a 30-plus point victory, was perhaps the Lakers turning the corner, bouncing back from those. I mean, they've had just five gut punch losses since the All-Star break. All five Western Conference direct playoff opponents, the Lakers have lost each of those games, two to the Warriors, two to the Kings, one to the Phoenix Suns. But Austin seemed pretty optimistic that this team might be kind of turning it on at this point. What were his comments? Then how do you feel about that, and how valid that is?
Yeah, that's pretty much what he said. Like, he felt like that Hawks game was them kind of getting over the tough losses and turning a corner. And, you know, this is kind of something familiar that we've heard over the last few years. It feels like, you know, they're such a roller coaster. Like, they look great one game, look awful another. Like you said, they've lost to some crucial games to teams that they really needed to beat. So that was unfortunate. But Austin sounded confident, and you know, as always, we're gonna have to wait and see here. Like, they're facing a Philly team that on paper, without Joel Embiid, they should beat them on Friday. So we'll see if they come out with that same, you know, intensity that they had against Atlanta. We're at the point where it's kind of now or never. Like, if they want to at least get up to like the 7-8 play-in game, like, they kind of have to play, you know, 600-700 ball for the however many games are left. Like, all these teams kind of around them are playing pretty well right now. So, you know, I understand why he and the team feels that way. But for me, it's kind of like, let's wait and see how they look on Friday and even after that. Because at some point, they're going to have to rattle off four or five wins in a row, which has kind of been their struggle this season. Like, you know, they have two good games and then two bad ones, you know, three good games, one bad one, or they haven't really been able to find that consistency.
Yeah, I'm with you, Daniel. I'm not falling for it. I'm not falling for it just yet. I'm not going to buy in and say, we've been hurt too many times. I'm not going to buy in and say, yes, this is it. They've turned the corner. Season starts now and all that kind of stuff. No, I think they have to prove it. They've got to prove it on a consistent basis. Probably need at least a few weeks of the team looking like something has actually changed and that we're not just riding that Jekyll and Hyde roller coaster that we've been talking about for so long. The Hawks win was great. It was much needed. I've got people rolling their eyes and saying, who cares? It was the Hawks.
Right.
It was a 30 point win. It doesn't matter who it is you're playing in the NBA. You beat them by over 30 points. And that tends to mean something. But until they can prove that consistently, it's just talk. I mean, we've heard Anthony Davis say, how many times this season has Anthony Davis said, I've got to be better? And he's been great over the course of the season. Don't get me wrong. But we've heard the Lakers say the right things a number of times this season, and it hasn't resulted in consistency yet. So I want to see them actually get out there and execute on the floor. Fortunately, I think the schedule ahead is one that could provide opportunities for them to really go on a run here, but they've got to get it done. The defense has got to improve. Even without Jared Vanderbilt, they've got to find ways to get better on that end of the floor. And if they can, the potential is still there for them to make a run. But again, they've got to show that they can do it on some kind of consistent basis. I think that's been the issue for Lakers fans this season, Daniel. It's been the up and down nature of this team, not knowing night in, night out what you're going to see. Every time we get our hopes up, it feels like they wind up with a stinker of a game, losing a big important game, and you just get knocked right back down. So that's going to be the key here down the home stretch. Can they find any kind of consistency? I asked Matt the Optimist Peralta this on the last show that we did, and I asked him on a scale of 1 to 10, how much faith he has in this team. Now, I put it in Peralta's own lingo, so we turned it into a date analogy and whether or not he would be stood up. But in normal person speak here, Daniel, how confident are you in this Lakers team out of 10 that they are going to become a consistent team before the postseason?
I think for me, it's like right out of 5, like right in the middle. And I know that's not like the hot takey answer, but the inconsistency, like you just never know which team is going to show up. Like we were just talking about, it's always a roller coaster. So we've seen that it's in them. Like we've seen them have great games, and even against, you know, good teams, not just the Hawks. Like they've beaten some good teams as well, and they've looked great doing it. And we know when LeBron and AD are going well, like that's still one of the best duos in the league. And obviously, if you get to the point where you're in a 7-game series, like if I was another team, I wouldn't want to play the Lakers, you know, knowing that you got LeBron and AD and Austin and D'Lo and such. So that's what gives me confidence. But then we also see, you know, the stinkers and the injuries, of course, and whatnot. So that's what kind of pulls me back a little bit. But you made a good point a little while ago about the schedule. Like this is kind of the time where the schedule is doing them favors. Like they complained a lot in December about how much they were traveling and then how, you know, how many back-to-backs they had and such. Now is the time where the schedule has really eased up. You know, they're going out on a road trip soon, but there are some easier opponents on that. And the main thing is they've had a lot of off days here the last couple weeks, which has, you know, not only allowed them to rest and guys like LeBron and AD who have been dealing with, you know, minor injuries and such, get them off their feet a little bit more, but it's also allowed them to get on the practice court. And we've talked about their struggles defensively. Like there's that, a lot of that could be, you know, due to the lack of time they've had, you know, to practice together and gain that continuity that they've been talking about all season pretty much. So I definitely think with the time they've had off, that could be very beneficial. We just got to see if they could turn it into anything, you know?
Yeah, that's something that I think a lot of the casual fans who I think get a bad rap to the point where where casual has become a derogatory term, but the more casual fans I think don't fully understand how rarely NBA teams practice today. Yeah. Like you've been to, I believe, basically every practice over the course of the season. How many practices would you estimate they've actually had, like post training, obviously training camp not counting, since then? How many practices do you think they've actually had?
Yeah, I'd say maybe like 10, like somewhere in that range, which like if you're going over the course of 4 months is maybe like 2 a month or 3 a month or something. So it's definitely not a lot. Like pretty much any time they have a game every other day or back to back, like they're not practicing in between, just because the day after a game is typically used for recovery and watching film and such. So unless they have 2 or 3 days off in a row, they're really not getting on the practice court, which for a majority of the season, they haven't really had too many times where they've had 2 or 3 off days in a row. So now they are getting that though. So we'll see if, you know, they could kind of, you know, improve from that, whether that be with their communication or, you know, their shooting or whatever, like, you know, it couldn't hurt being on the practice court and getting extra shots up and such. So this should be, you know, they should be playing their best basketball at this time of the year anyways, but this rest and time on the practice court should only help with that even more.
Yeah, and hopefully, especially the communication on the defensive side of the ball, which is one of the areas that a number of players have spoken about how they still have some issues there. Hopefully that's something they can get fixed up a bit before we hit the postseason. Today's LakersNation.com podcast is sponsored by Harry's Razors. Been my personal razor for years. The German engineered blades do a great job, give you a great shave every time, and customizable delivery. They get delivered to your door, how many razors you want, how often you want them. It is fantastic. But I'll tell you, actually, my favorite part, it's the handle. The handle is weighted perfectly. I love the way it fits and feels in your hand. Personally, I have two of them. I've got one that goes on the road with me, and that's the orange one. If you're on YouTube, you can see them on your screen. And then the gray one is my daily driver that stays at home. Now, the great thing about Harry's right now is they've got a fantastic deal for Lakers Nation listeners. You can get a five-blade razor, the weighted handle I was just talking about, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/LakersNation. They're not just razors, though. I'd recommend you take a look at a lot of their other products too, especially my favorite. Honestly, it's the body wash, and the scent that I love is Stone. I've been using that one quite a bit. My second, it's a very, very close second, is Redwood. That one is also fantastic. So again, check out harrys.com. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/LakersNation. That's harrys.com/LakersNation for that $3 trial set. All right, let's dive into the mailbag here. Let's take some questions and comments. This top one said from T-Money. Said, wave Skylar Mays for Dwight Howard. It's a no-brainer. I joked about this with Peralta on yesterday's show that Dwight, I mean, it was like he made the Lakers a mixtape, what he put out on Instagram the other day. Yeah. Like, he was very clearly like trying to get somebody to come sign him right now, and the Lakers would clearly be a target for him. But in this specific situation, Skylar Mays is on a two-way contract. Dwight Howard is not eligible for a two-way contract, nor are players on two-way contracts eligible to participate in the postseason. So it's not going to happen that way. It is kind of a no-brainer, I suppose, where if there was a big sitting out there that could help you, if you could do that, waive a player like Skylar Mays, who I like, but if you could waive him and bring in a big, yes, that would be a no-brainer. But the NBA rules just won't allow that to happen the way that you're thinking it will. What do you think about the idea, though, of bringing in another big, knowing that it would cost the Lakers some future dead money on the books?
Yeah, I mean, so the thing with Christian Wood being out is you only have two bigs, really, now, like with AD and Jackson Hayes, and you have Harry Giles on a two-way contract, but he just got here a couple weeks ago and hasn't really played, so they definitely wouldn't, you know, trust him in a big game, like playing rotation minutes, so... you're definitely really thin in the front court, like especially if we see like the other night against Golden State where AD gets hit in the eye or something and he's mm-hmm. forced to go out. Now Jackson is your only center. So I definitely think if they could find a way, you know, whether that be waiving Christian Wood or whatever, you know, I would personally be looking to bring in a big man. I don't know if Dwight would be my choice. I also haven't really looked at who else is out there. So I couldn't give like a concrete answer on who would be a good fit, but we did. There is like a precedent for this. Like we saw at the very end of last season, the Lakers, I think it was on the last day of the regular season, the Lakers signed Tristan Thompson.
Yep.
And he ended up, you know, getting a few minutes at least in the playoffs. So I wouldn't rule it out completely, but it also with kind of the way the moves they've made or the moves they haven't made in you know, going from the trade deadline. And after that, they seem pretty content with what they have. And if they have to go small at times, they will. We've seen LeBron at the five, Rui at the five, which it's definitely not ideal, especially defensively, like we saw in that Golden State game when AD goes down, there was no one in there protecting mm-hmm. that rim. So it would be nice to have that extra big body, but it doesn't really – like I would just say don't get your hopes up. It doesn't seem like it's trending that way.
Yeah, especially since waving Christian Wood or Cam or Hayes or whoever – it would result in dead money sitting on the Lakers books for next year. And I don't think they have an appetite for that. Mamadou threw in D'Lo. I'm assuming he was responding to a question on who should be maybe the star in your role or superstar of the night or something on that show. But Roberto, who's a channel member, said, not Lakers related, but thank you for everything you do and your sacrifices. Yesterday, I ran the LA Marathon and did this listening to your podcast every run. Well, thank you, Roberto. That's cool. I had never thought, Daniel, I'm going to change the way we market our show now.
I know, right? Maybe you got to mix in some motivational speaking just so in case there's someone running out there, get them to go a little faster.
That's right. Exactly. We're going to have to mix in some motivation. We're going to put in some high intensity music and things like that. It'll be great. It'll be like Lakers Nation, run faster, jump higher. That'll be our slogan now. And we'll be the training aid of athletes everywhere. What do you think?
Yeah. Hey, I'm in. I know I listen to a lot of times I go to the gym the morning after a game and I'll listen to your post game show the morning after when I'm in the gym, just because obviously I'm at the game, you know, the night of and can't catch it. So I could definitely use a little motivation when I'm in the gym. So I wouldn't mind it at all.
All right. All right. I'm going to start sneaking in some little motivating quotes for you there then. So you can hear those, and Roberto can as well. But Roberto, seriously, thank you very much. Really appreciate the kind words. Truly, truly touched by that. Sublime said at last to win. This was after the Hawks game. What can Spencer do to help our team? I feel like he's too passive. It isn't helping the team. How would, should they use Spencer Dinwiddie? Where do you stand on Dinwiddie? I don't think he's provided the offensive punch that maybe some thought he would, but it seems like Darvin Ham has not been displeased with what he's seen out of Dinwiddie so far.
Sure. And obviously, like, when you're a vet like he is, like, coming over to a new team, you want to try to do whatever you can to fill in. And we, going back to the injuries we just talked about, like, how about how the Lakers have been missing so many key perimeter defenders. Like, Spence has kind of had to take on that role, and to his credit, he's done it really well. Like, obviously the one that comes to mind is the block on Damian Lillard the end of that Bucks game. So that's been great, but I definitely think he is being too passive offensively. Like, that's not his game. Like, he's always been an offense first, like, microwave type player that could get hot at any time and also create for his teammates. And we haven't really seen that. And he's not going to be a guy to score 20, 30 points, but I definitely think there are units when he's in with the bench or whatever, where he can be more aggressive offensively and look for his shot. As long as he's, you know, not taking it too far to the point where he's, you know, only looking for his and not playing team ball, but that's not Spencer. Like, he's made it a point to fit in here, and I credit him for that. But I definitely think we're at the point where if he's going to get minutes, he has to at least be some sort of a threat offensively. Like, his usage rate and his shot attempts have gone way down, like, way too far down, in my opinion. So I definitely think he can be more aggressive offensively.
Yeah, especially their bench has needed a bit of a scoring boost. That's why we've talked about if Jared Vanderbilt is 100% when he comes back, or even 90%, maybe you shift Rui to the bench, who's been playing just great. It's by no means a demotion, but their bench could use a bit more scoring punch. Spencer Dinwiddie could be a factor there if he can get going on the offensive end. So far, the defense has been good. Like you said, the creation has been okay too. It's the scoring that just hasn't really been there for him, and hopefully that'll eventually come around here with this game. AW said, "Hey, Trev, I don't understand what happened during that 3-10 stretch after the All-Star or the in-season tournament. Imagine they went 7-6 instead, or even 6-7. Yeah, that changes everything. I mean, that stretch, where we talked about it. We talked about how we knew they were not going to play at the same intensity that they did during the tournament. It was not sustainable for them to do that. And just the hope was that it wouldn't be too big of a drop-off. Well, it was. That stretch is why they're in the spot they're in right now, because they've actually been winning at an okay clip, even with the gut punch losses they've suffered recently that have frustrated people. The reason why they're the 9 seed is not because they've lost to the Warriors and the Kings and teams like that. They're the 9 seed right now because they dropped so many games after the in-season tournament. It felt like they completely took their foot off the gas pedal. That is coming back to haunt them right now. Daniel, it felt like the energy of the team was just just different after that tournament, and that seems to be really hurting them at this point.
Yeah, I just think, like, psychologically, like, that's just natural, like, to go from playing high intensity games to then just, like, regular, you know, old regular season games. Like, you could definitely have a letdown, and I think that's what we saw. I mentioned this earlier. I definitely think the December schedule was not forgiving to them. Like, they were already on the road for most of that month, and then they got added in another trip to Las Vegas right in the middle of it. So that added some challenges as well. So I think you combine all that, and they had some injuries and such. It led to a disappointing month, which, unfortunately, like you just said, if they had gone 6-7 or 7-6 in that stretch, we'd be talking about a much different team right now. And that's just, unfortunately, that's how crowded the Western Conference is. But yeah. And I also think, unfortunately, like when we look at the standing and see how close it is, it's easy to forget that the Lakers have another win that straight up just does not count to their record. And when it comes down at the end of the season, if there's one game separating two teams or two teams are tied or whatever, that's going to be even more of a bummer than it already was, because the Lakers beat the Pacers in the in-season tournament semifinals, or finals, I should say, but that game did not count as far as their record goes. So that is a bummer, and potentially maybe even that like kind of helped with the letdown as well after.
Yeah, the NBA is going to look to tweak the in-season tournament. That's one of the things I would like to see changed. And I liked the tournament overall. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought we got playoff caliber basketball in November and December, which is great. But that's something that should be adjusted. You should be able to get credit for that game on your record. But, you know, one of the things, when you look at the Lakers right now, they're five games above 500. They're 37-32. They're not that far off from being decent. I think when you really... Or from being a threatening team, when you really get into it and you look at what's happened this season, and we factor in the injuries, you factor in poor decision-making on their own part, right? I think we've seen that. You factor in, especially, you know, with Darvin Ham, there's plenty's been going on there. But then you also factor in the schedule, the injuries that they've suffered. We talked about it before the season even started, that they had one of the worst schedules in the NBA. They had, I think, the second most games where they would be at a rest disadvantage, or the second biggest discrepancy between their rest disadvantage games and the rest advantage games, meaning that they played way more times on the second night of a back-to-back against a fresh opponent than they got a team on the second night of a back-to-back when the Lakers were fresh, which is actually what happened against the Hawks. And then you add in how many back-to-backs they had this season. It was more than they typically would. It was a very, very difficult schedule on top of everything else that they suffered injury-wise. Again, some of this is self-inflicted as well. And when you look at their record and you see that they're, you know, five games above 500, there's part of me, Daniel, that almost doesn't want to give them a pass. Like, they should be better. They shouldn't be sitting in the nine seed. But it's almost a little overblown that they're the nine seed. Like, they're playing better, I think, than a typical nine seed would. Mm-hmm. And when you factor in all the other stuff, it's a little more understandable why they are where they are right now and not, say, the 5-6, maybe even the 4 seed or something like that. That context, I think, is important when we look at this, because it's seen as this just giant collapse by the Lakers this season, and they're so disappointing. And it is disappointing, but there's a lot of reasons that have added to this, to them being the 9 seed. And let's not forget, this record would be much higher than 9th in a normal season as well.
Yeah. And just to add on to that, like, I think the Lakers are built more as a playoff team than a regular season team, especially when you add in all the injuries they've had to dealt with. Like, coming into the season, their depth was touted as one of their strengths. But unfortunately, when all those depth guys are kind of in and out of the lineup, that strength becomes a weakness. And LeBron and AD, as great as they are over the course of a long season, they're not just going to go all out every game. So I definitely think that, like, the Lakers are a team where it's like, let's just get in. Let's hope we're on the opposite side of the bracket of the Nuggets. And then, you know, let's jump ball up from that point. Like, I think they'll feel confident as long as they're in the playoffs. It's just a matter of, can we get there? Can we try to avoid the Nuggets? Can we try to avoid having to play two play-in games? Like, there's all these different factors that you wish they were, you know, a few games better so you didn't have to think about that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just kind of like, let's just get in and let's be healthy once we're in the playoffs, and let's see what happens from there.
Yeah, by no means am I saying excuse the Lakers for being the 9 seed. I mean, they've had LeBron and AD healthy for much of the season. You can't ask for much more than that, despite the fact that they've suffered, I believe, the second most games missed due to injury this season of anybody in the NBA. It's because, ironically, all the guys they brought in to be depth pieces to step up when LeBron and AD were inevitably hurt have been hurt themselves, and LeBron and AD have been healthy. So go figure. But let's get to this one. We'll do one more here. Sam just threw in, all of Jackson Hayes' points have to be highlights. We talked about some highlight reel dunks from Jackson Hayes. Yeah, I mean, dunks are inherently highlights, but Daniel, Jackson Hayes, he gives it everything he's got every time he's out there. You get some great highlights out of him. And that's just kind of, that's what he is. And not not a lot else. He's not going to come in and change the game in a big way, but you are going to get some fun moments out of him, right?
No, exactly. He's not the most polished guy offensively, but he can work in that pick and roll, especially with D'Lo. They've been working well. They've had a nice little chemistry together. That's where mm-hmm. we've seen a lot of those lobs come from. And yeah, he's just in there to bring energy. Like, obviously not too many big men are as athletic as he is. Like, so when he's up there jumping, it looks like he's getting way higher than everyone else, and that's because he is. But so those are fun, and those bring energy to the team, especially when you're on a run and then you're in transition and they throw up a fun lob that gets the crowd going and such. But I do have to give Jackson a lot of credit. Like, I, even like myself, and I know a lot of other people were kind of critical of him in the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. He wasn't providing much. He was fouling a lot whenever he was on the floor. So he's pretty much unplayable. And he's worked really hard on that, and he's kind of turned that around, and he's found a way to make an impact here. Obviously, he's gotten more opportunities because of the Christian Wood injury, but he's making the most of them. So, you know, credit to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, he was indeed unplayable for a little bit there, but he has worked his way back in, and good timing with Christian Wood's injury. He's taken advantage of that. Well, Daniel, by the time most people are watching this on the YouTube side, you'll have already made it through the second Dodgers game, but I want to wish you the best of luck getting up early and watching another game, basically in the middle of the night. Hopefully the Dodgers go 2-0 there. Again, everybody check out Dodger Blue, the Dodger Blue 1958 YouTube channel. I'll put the link in the description down below. And thank you so much for coming on here. Always fun getting your insight coming straight from the practice floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me as always. And hopefully the Lakers could kind of build some momentum from here, you know?
Yes, sir. That is definitely what they need. Lakers Nation, give us your thoughts in the comment section over on the YouTube channel, on the Apple Podcast, Spotify side. Make sure you give us that rating and review. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.